How do I relate to other people? How do I interact with them? Sometimes it's very easy for believers to not interact in a healthy fashion with other people. And really, if I'm to be successful before God as a disciple, I need to learn proper interaction. But it's very easy for improper interaction to take place. And so I have to ask myself, how do I interact with other people? Well, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. What does that mean as far as practicality goes? Because I can have an attitude of love toward people on a good day. But on a bad day, maybe I'll just keep my mouth shut. That's not really entirely the same. This is how you interact with people. You put God's heart and God's mind in the forefront of your thinking. If you love people, you will regard their capacities. You'll regard their heart. If you don't love people, you won't regard their heart. You won't regard their capacity. As a believer who first regards God, and because I have regard for God, I have regard for other people, I live with a regard toward people's hearts, toward people's capacities, toward people's days, toward people's ability to respond. Unfortunately, it can happen that in close relationships, a person's spirit can be crushed. When that happens, then their capacity for proper responses is destroyed. Damaged at least, but if it's crushed, it'll be destroyed. And you walk around with a destroyed capacity toward the people in your close relationships, but you still walk in those relationships. That means that those relationships are not what God had designed them to be. How does that take place? Usually, if somebody shuts down someone's capacity, it's not the same thing. It's shut down their spirit. It's not the same thing as destroying it. It starts with shutting down a person's spirit. Shutting down a person's spirit is when I don't represent God's heart toward them. If I do that on a consistent basis, or if I do that like in a way that is exaggerated, I can shut down a person's spirit. That's not irreparable. That person then can turn to grace, mercy, love, and that spirit can be opened again. However, for that person then to trust me again with their heart is going to be difficult. On the other hand, I can destroy that person's spirit. In other words, I can crush the spirit. That usually is a long-term thing. Let's say that you have a husband who's abusive to his wife verbally. He criticizes her. He nags her. He's judgmental of her. He's negative toward her. It's a barrage, one thing after another, of criticism and negativity and criticism and sarcasm and things like that. If he continues that long enough, he's going to crush her spirit. He'll shut her spirit down pretty fast. Wives can do that to husbands too. People within families can do that to each other. A lot of barrage of criticism and negativity, harshness, unkindness. Unkindness is big. And they crush the person's spirit. And that person, albeit they can respond to God, no longer has the ability to respond to that person, to trust that person with their heart. that'll damage that relationship. When that happens, things like intimacy can go away. And I don't mean physical intimacy necessarily. I mean intimacy of the heart can go away. If there's a crushing of the spirit. It usually happens through selfishness. A person says, I'm entitled to do this. This is how I am. This is my mood. This is my day. I'm tired. There's nothing about being tired, for example. I like to use that as an example because I spent a lot of time tired. There's nothing about being tired in the Bible where God says, when you're tired, it's okay to be a voice box for the devil. The devil is willing to use any voice box that's available. See, those are actually the times when love is revealed. I can tell you I love you all the time, but if my attitude toward you is not one of love, I don't love you. Sometimes I may be trying to convince myself. But if I don't have an attitude of love toward a person, I'm not saying that if there's somebody's like had a really bad day and they just slip and snap, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things on a consistent basis. If somebody's going to live like that consistently, they don't love. If somebody's going to be consistently critical, consistently sarcastic, consistently negative, consistently judgmental, whatever it is that people do to each other in these relationships, they don't love. They don't love the other person. They may profess to, but they don't. Usually what they do have is an affection to a measure. If you love somebody, you always regard that person's heart. Why? Because love is kind. Love is patient and kind. Mercy and kindness. When you love somebody, even though they may be snapping at you, you love them. You may try to snap them out of it. When I find somebody who's getting a little fleshy around the edges, I try to kind of tease them out of it a little bit, if they're a person who can do that with. Sometimes you can't. Depends on the person. Some people you can, if they have a good sense of humor. You can tease them out of it. You just look at them and they get the message. You don't want to be unkind to them. Say, hey, you're in the flesh, get right. Because that's not going to do anything for their capacity. But sometimes if you just snap a little and they wake up to it, and then they realign themselves to what is right. Because as they're in the flesh, they're losing rewards. And so, if you love a person, now again, I'm not talking about isolated moments. We're all human beings. I'm talking about what we do on a consistent basis. If you love someone, you will consistently regard that person's heart and their capacity. Because that's who they are. That's what they have with God. If you fear God, you will love them. See, there's one component that we don't often talk about in loving people. We always, rightfully so, say if we love because God first loved us. But we have to be a little bit careful with that. Because what it actually says is we love Him. We love God. Because He first loved us. It doesn't say we love our brother because God first loved us. Now, we do need to receive that love from God in order to be able to love the other person. But that's not the extent of it. You know what's very healthy for love? It's a little bit of fear. What do you mean? Perfect love casts out fear, doesn't it? Yeah, fear has torment, and I'm not talking about that fear. A little bit of fear of God. If I have the fear of God, I won't be bold enough to damage another person's capacity. I won't be bold enough to be unkind to them. See, when I find that I'm unkind, I'm also finding that's the time I'm not really regarding God's thoughts. It's not just that I'm not regarding His heart and His thoughts. I'm not really afraid of them either. Not being afraid of God is a dangerous place to be. It's like not being afraid of a down power line. You don't lose sleep over it. You don't mess with it either. But it's easy for us to think we can mess with it because it's God. He's gracious and merciful, right? Yes, He is. He also takes people home early. And so we have to regard these things. How do I approach relationships of any sort? Fear of God. And then the love of God. Because the fear of God will open the door for the love of God. Keep in mind that the love of God is not an emotion. It's not an affection. It's not love. It's filial love. It's not agape love. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have affections. We certainly ought to have healthy, godly affections. Right? The Word of God says, be kindly affectioned one toward another. And that's right. But that's not agape. Agape can produce the right affections. So I receive agape from God, and that produces toward you the right affections in me. Now, here's the thing. Affections depend on responses. Agape love does not. Agape love is first patient, and the practical manifestation of patience is mercy. So the first characteristics is that it will be patient and endure in that patience for a long time. So it'll be merciful and repeatedly merciful and repeatedly merciful again for a long time. Then, secondly, it is kind. So, if I'm going to have the right relationships, if I'm going to approach my relationship correctly, I'm going to practice fear of God first. Here's the thing. Many people don't fear God. They regard Him to an extent, but they don't fear Him. That's a problem not to fear God. Because if I don't fear God, then I'm not going to fear things like where He says in Zechariah, that I'm the apple of His eye, and if somebody pokes at me, then they're poking God in the eye. So if I'm unkind to you, I'm actually poking God in the eye. When I lack the fear of God, then I have no problem poking God in the eye. Because I'm not afraid of Him. So fear of God is absolutely vital if I'm going to have healthy relationships. Because it's the fear of God that not keeps you in check, it keeps me in check. The fear of God is there for me to regard the love of God. Without the fear of God, I will not regard the love of God. I won't live in it. Because without the fear of God, everything really is all about me. I really am the center of the universe. It really is about how I'm feeling. It really is about what I want to do. It really is about what I feel like. It really is about my mood. It really is about my attitude. It really is all about me. I am the center of the universe as long as there's no fear of God. And so my kindness to somebody will depend on what I had for dinner last night. My kindness to somebody will depend on what kind of a day I had. How it is that the neurochemicals in my brain are behaving at the moment and my mood is this kind or this kind. And all these things I will use as a justification to not have regard for the person in my life. Or people, as the case may be. So all these things will be used as justification to disregard the capacity, the heart, the being of those people in my heart, in my life. In truth, if God has brought a person into your life, let's say a family member, a spouse, or a close friend, or a sibling, or a parent, brother, child, whatever the close relationships that we possess are, why are they there? Part of the reason why they are there is because God had desired for me to be a steward of somebody else's capacity. We're all stewards of capacities. We don't think of ourselves that way. We are all stewards of hearts. We don't think of ourselves that way. But we are. We're stewards of other people's spirit. But we don't think of ourselves that way. You know why? Because we're also self-oriented. Because we don't fear God. The fear of God is vitally important in relationships. If I don't fear Him, I won't love you. If I don't fear Him, being unkind, sarcastic, negative, reactionary, critical, whatever it is, this is the mood I'm in, this is what you're getting. I'm in a bad mood, you're getting a bad mood. I'm in a good mood, you're getting a good mood. Okay, so your emotions and your feelings are the standards of your life. That's going to be a fun relationship. Now, again, I want to repeat. I'm not talking about somebody who has an isolated moment. We all get isolated moments. I'm talking about people who live this way as a lifestyle. Fear of God won't allow that. Why? Because I'm afraid to poke God in the eye. I'm afraid to touch God's beloved. I'm afraid to be a voice box for Satan. I'm afraid of those things. And so I won't be. The fear of God, I think this is an important thing for us to get. The fear of God is the release for the love of God. The fear of God is the release for the love of God. Because it opens the doors for the love of God. No one can love in self-orientation. It's not possible. I can't love you and be self-oriented. Never happened. Now, the downside is that most relationships today are self-oriented. And many, even among Christians, are based in self-orientation, not God-orientation. That's one of the reasons why you have rampant fornication prior to marriage and extremely high divorce rates after marriage. Because of self-orientation. It's one of the reasons why in relationships people are unkind. Because of self-orientation. People will destroy people's capacities through unkindness because they're self-oriented. People will say unkind words, harsh things. Remember, the tongue is that little member that it can really set or it can really initiate a great deal of evil. Even though it's the smallest member, just like they said, like a rudder is a small part of a ship that it can steer a very large ship. And yet the tongue is the same way. The tongue is a small member that is a world of evil. Why? Why is that happen? Because I become so oriented to myself that I become disoriented to God and then disoriented to you. People don't have the right to be unkind to anybody else. They don't. God never gave that right. Show me one place in the Bible where God says, go ahead and be unkind. In relationships, right? It doesn't say be unkind. But we excuse ourselves in all sorts of ways. Don't feel good today. So I'm going to treat you unkind. I never actually saw the connection. I don't get the connection. I don't feel good. I'm going to treat you badly. And when I worked in the ER, when you had somebody who was being nasty, you would say, okay, this person's still fine. They came to the ER because they weren't feeling well, but they were being nasty. They were fine. You know why? Because the people who were actually sick didn't have the energy to be nasty. They were actually usually very sweet. Because they appreciated any kind of a relief you can give them. Oh, I don't feel good today. I'm going to be nasty to people. I'm going to let myself be nasty. Why? Because I don't feel good. What's the connection? Say, I don't feel good. I think I'm going to move this chair over there. The relevance is escaping me here. But yet, this is the way that we learn to relate according to the world system and what it has taught us. Satan taught us this through the world system. On the other hand, you have people who can be profoundly kind in relationships. You have people who lay down their life for the other person. Those are serious builders. Those kind of people can take a small capacity and make it flourish. Why? They have fear of God. And those kind of people, even though they may be having a bad day, even though they may be angry and in a bad mood. I mean, be angry but sin not, right? A person may be angry, may have everything go wrong that way, everybody's been nasty to them that day, everything went wrong, they're in a bad mood, not enough sleep, headache, tired, just all around bad mood. And yet they have too much fear of God to be unkind to another person. It's because of that fear of God that they regard the other person. They love the other person too much to be willing to allow themselves to hurt them. A person like that is a life giver. You want to have relationships with life givers. You want to have relationships with life givers. You don't want to have relationships when people are self-oriented and basically life drainers, life suckers. You want to have relationships with people who love God, who fear Him, who receive His love for themselves, and because they fear Him, they won't withhold that love, withhold that patience and that kindness. In a relationship like that, you can have one person who's one way and the other person's the other way. The relationship will be sustained, but it won't be what it was designed to be. They'll just be sustained. Now, here's the thing. Trust comes from knowing somebody's heart toward you. Knowing somebody's mind, knowing their heart, knowing their reliability. Trust is vitally important. If a person doesn't trust another person with their own heart, then that's going to be a very difficult relationship. For that person who lacks that trust, they'll never be able to rest. When you guys get into whatever relationships God brings your way down the road, whether it's, you know, close friendships, or whether it's the people you might marry, or whether it's families, when you have the option of relationships, like let's say somebody, you know, you're considering marrying, make sure there's someone you can trust. Make sure you can trust them with your heart. Make sure you can trust their fidelity. This is one of the reasons why I say, if you have somebody that you're engaged to or seriously considering marrying or whatever, and they're flirting, don't go there. Because that person is on the road to unfaithfulness. and you won't be able to trust them. And then if it's a guy who's flirting, it doesn't matter if it's a guy or a girl, the other one's going to suffer the same thing. Let's say it's a guy who's flirting and the lady finds that the guy she's thinking about marrying is flirting, and now he's talking to some other woman, and she's going to be, oh God, I hope he's not flirting with her. Likewise for the guy, if the girl's flirtatious and she's talking to another guy, he's going to be constantly thinking in the back of his head, oh God, I hope she's not flirting with him. It's because there's trust violations. Once trust is violated, it's hard to restore. It's not impossible, it's just difficult. So don't even go down that road. If you find yourself that somebody's flirtatious, let them go. If you find somebody's unkind, let them go. If you find that somebody is harsh, let them go. You're talking about protecting your heart here. You need to do that because your heart belongs to God. You need to protect it. If we don't protect our hearts in the right way, I'm not saying that protect our hearts the way the world talks about, like, the world says, oh, I can't say I love you because I got to protect my heart because I might get hurt. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my heart before God, my ability to respond to Him, my ability to reflect His character. That's what I'm talking about. You've got to be able to have a healthy heart in that relationship. You only get into relationships where you can trust that person with your heart, that they won't crush it. If they crush your heart, it will be a very painful and difficult relationship to live in. And very often those kind of relationships in the end do fall apart. Not through anything outward sin, not through immorality or anything like that. Just because there's a lot of wounds. And it becomes very difficult for those people in their capacity which has been damaged to sustain those relationships. More divorces are caused through things like unkindness than are caused to things like immorality. And so these are things that we have to learn as believers, particularly young believers. Because young people, generally speaking, certainly there are many exceptions to this, but generally speaking, because of the way the world is, the way the world trains young people, now there are many exceptions, I want to emphasize that, but young people are frequently very self-oriented. And only through breaking do they become God-oriented. It's not necessary to be broken to be God-oriented, but sometimes that's what's necessary for that individual. You want to get into relationships only if they have God's heart present. A person who's consistently unkind doesn't possess God's heart because they don't possess the fear of God. A person who is, again, this, I don't know why this is again on my heart, but it's been on my heart several times lately. A person who is flirtatious doesn't fear God, does not have God's heart. And you won't be able to trust that person in a relationship. Well, the world says it, even the world recognizes it, and there's some merit to it. There's a considerable amount of merit to it. Trust, they say, is required. I'm not saying necessarily required. I'm saying extremely important in relationships. You can sustain a relationship without trust, but it's a one-way relationship. It's a painful relationship. So I'm not saying that it has to be to sustain it. But then you end up something like, if it's in a marriage, then you end up being legally married. But only legally married. And even if there's no immorality, the sweetness is not present when selfishness is, when self-orientation is, when violations of trust are there. And violation of trust, I don't mean necessarily just toward immorality, it's just like the obvious one. I mean violations of a heart trust, trusting your heart to that other person that they will not wound the heart, which is fairly common. And so spirit-filled believers will fear God, and because they fear Him, they will release the love of God toward the other person. When that's not present, the relationship may be sustained, but it'll be sustained at somebody's price that was not intended for them to pay. In the meantime, they get rewards, but the sweetness of what could have been has disappeared. And so, in relationships, you have a great deal of regard for the other person. If you get into a marriage, then you regard that other person more than you regard yourself. You regard God more than you regard that other person. But you regard that other person more than you regard yourself. Do you know why? You won't hurt them that way. And by hurt them, I don't mean like, oh, you've hurt my feelings. No, I mean you won't damage them that way. You don't want to damage people you're close to. You see, this is the one thing I could never quite grasp about the way that the world does their relationships. They tend to have this relationship where they relax around the people they're closest to, let's say their family members, spouse, whatever. They relax and they let all the negativity and nasty out on them. Why is it aimed at anybody? Those are the people you want to protect the most from those things, not subject them the most to those things. Those are the ones you want to protect the most from those things. But the world does their relationships backwards. The people they're the closest to, they're also going to be nasty. You heard that saying, you hurt the ones you love? That is accepted by a person who's a relationship idiot. If you hurt the ones you love, then you're not loving the people. You don't hurt people you love. No. You protect them from being hurt. When that nurse hurt my mother-in-law, and my wife saw it, man, she darn near threw that woman through the window. But she loved her mom. She would have much rather have hurt the nurse than have the nurse hurt her mom. I mean, she didn't. She was very gracious. She was very controlled. But she didn't appreciate the nurse hurting her mother. She was very protective of her mother. Why? It's not the mentality of hurt the ones you love. But the world teaches you to have relationships. Okay, you're in a close relationship. You're having a bad day. You can just let it out on your spouse. I don't think so. You don't know what you're talking about. That's a good way to destroy your relationships. That's not a way you build them. Fear God and love the person you're with in your relationships. You be patient and kind to them, and you don't give yourself permission toward what God does not call permissible. People do this frequently. They give themselves permission where God does not give that permission. Can't do that. If you're finding yourself considering a relationship with a person who gives themselves permission to those things that God does not, step away. Why? It's going to be a one-sided deal. Now, can that person grow? Most certainly they can. And maybe if you wait a while, if you feel like that's what God's bringing you to your way, and you wait some time, maybe they'll grow. And God will get them through that. And probably He will if He's called you to it. But you don't go into things that will damage your capacity. Because your capacity is all you got toward God. It's also all you got toward other people. And so you be very careful to love people because you regard them more than you regard your mood. Then you regard the way you're feeling that way, day. Then you regard whether you're sick or healthy. You regard them more. Because if you regard your mood or your feelings or whatever else more than those people, there'll be plenty of times when you're very unkind to them. And you're going to shut them down and they won't be able to help it. The responsibility will not be theirs for not being able to withstand that. It will be ours, but it's my responsibility if I do that. Because I was a steward of that capacity. And in the stewardship of that capacity, I crushed it. And so I don't regard my moods higher than somebody else's heart. I don't regard having a good day or a bad day higher than I do somebody else's heart, somebody else's capacity, somebody else's ability to think or cope. I don't regard the way I'm doing higher than revealing God's heart. I'm not saying I have to feel good in it, because if you're having a bad day, you're having a bad day. I'm saying you don't give yourself excuses. Because people, this is the one place, highly disciplined people sometimes give themselves this place of excuses. And it's one of the most destructive places to make excuses. Like they'll discipline their schedules, they'll discipline their lives, they'll discipline their thinking, but not here. I'm having a bad day, I can be nasty. Well, that means you've just communicated to the atmosphere, anytime you're in a mood, your voice box is available to Satan. And trust me, he will be very quick and eager to use that voice box. And since he knows exactly which mood it takes, he knows the right buttons to press, and he'll give you that mood very frequently, so long as he gets to use your voice box. If you find yourself in a place like that, you're in a tough place. If you find yourself attached to somebody like that, you're in a very tough place. Because they don't have regard for you. Because they don't have regard for God. They do have regard for their feelings. Well, the only thing I can say to somebody like that is God loves you, but get some guts, because you're a spiritual wimp. So get some guts. You don't have the right. And you will answer to God for that. Because there is word accountability. So get some guts. I'm having a bad day. I'm in a bad mood. I don't feel well. But get some guts and stop being a wimp. But Christians like to live in self-indulgence in this one area. Why? Because they're wimpy. They don't have any backbone. Get some guts. Excuses. How did Pastor Stevens define them? Skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Skin of reasons. I'm having a bad day. Skin of a reason stuffed. I'm nasty to you because I'm having a bad day. First of all, I don't know how being nasty improves your day. Don't quite get that. I don't know how being nasty improves your mood. I don't know how being nasty improves the fact that you're sick. But God didn't give you that right. God doesn't care, no matter how you're feeling. God doesn't care for you poking him in the eye. So knock it off. We Christians need to learn how to stop being so stinking self-indulgent. We just need to get a little tough with our moods. Get a little tough. Well, it's just the way I am. Okay, so you have demonic. You satisfied with that? Well, get a little bit of guts. A little backbone and character. Stop living in your moods. Because that little jab is a jab into a capacity. It's a jab into a heart. And the repair work takes far greater than the damage. You ever demo a house? A room? You got a room? Takes a few hours. You want to build that room back up? Takes a long time. Same thing with people's hearts. Doesn't take long to damage a heart. Doesn't take long to destroy trust. Takes a long time to build them back up. So be careful about the way that you approach relationships. There's a healthy way to have them, but it's not going to include self-indulgence. It's not going to include elevating how I feel above my fear of God and my love for you. That's not going to happen. If that's the way you want to run your relationships, you're not going to have very good ones. You want a healthy relationship, really satisfying one? Fear God more than you love your mood. And have regard for that other person more than you have regard for the fact that your day was this way or that way. Then you're going to have good relationships. See, your mood will pass by the morning, but the damage will linger for a long time. That's what your mood was sent for. So be careful with that. A lot of relationships today among Christians suffer from this. Don't allow it in your life. Before you get into those relationships, make up your mind. You're not going to allow it in your life, and you won't get into one with somebody who does. Because you want your relationships to be healthy, not damaged. You want them to be a resting place for you and the people you're with. You don't want it to be a place of stress or torment. You don't want your relationships to be a ministry where you're ministering to the other person, or the other person has to be ministering to you, where you become a ministry to the person you're with. You want to be a resting place to the person you're with and have them be a resting place to you. But quite frankly, in today's world, there's not that many of them. They do exist. They're out there. But more and more, you don't find them. And that's one of the reasons why more and more you find divorces. Because people are selfish. And it's not that the person necessarily leaving is doing the selfishness. They may be leaving just because somebody else has been selfish. Sometimes they leave because they're selfish. But sometimes they simply have a capacity that's been so destroyed that they're not able to stay in it anymore. Can God restore it? Of course He can. But why make Him to? Why not just do it right from the get-go? Just a thought. Take that one to the bank. It'll save you $10,000 in counseling.